It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is a co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, the book Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS, and the latest book, which is Journal of a Duck Midwife. And happy Thanksgiving, Dr. Werpman.
Thank you very much, and I hope both of you have a wonderful day as well, filled with good food and good
lots
company.
Of it.
Well, Jill, I finally figured out, a little slow on the uptake, why people, including myself, tend to make so many different dishes for Thanksgiving. Because if you think about it, you know, in a basic way, you know, Thanksgiving is a meal, and you invite people over for the meal, and you would normally serve them an entree, or these days, given how many vegans, vegetarians, and various other, you know, isms of the way people eat, you might have three or four different entrees depending on people's needs for certain kinds of foods. But be that as it may, then you have maybe one or two side dishes and a dessert. But that's not what we do on Thanksgiving. In fact, if one looked at any newspaper or magazine the last couple of weeks, you would see just that, like maybe six or eight recipes for things that you can make and put on the Thanksgiving table. Not just one vegetable, but three. You know, not one starchy food, but two or three, oftentimes containing ingredients that you never would put together in the other time of year. Not just one dessert. I mean, why would you serve more than one dessert? But, you, of course, you have two or three times of pies and maybe some kind of a cake, and then you might have a couple of kinds of breads, cornbread, rolls, etc. And if you really wanted to, you know, put yourself out, you would even serve before the actual meal appetizers, and then you might serve, you know, nuts or raisins or what have you, or to nibble on after the meal in case somebody shouldn't still be hungry. I thought, but why do we need to have so many different kinds of foods on the table? And it finally dawned on me, having read a little bit about it, that what we're doing is not presenting a Thanksgiving meal, but in the sense in which it was originally thought of, we're presenting a Thanksgiving feast. And a feast is something, you know, by definition, is a celebratory eating event that is supposed to commemorate a joyous occasion, something that we're thankful for, perhaps, you know, a personal occasion, or more likely a communal occasion that perhaps has historical or religious or even agricultural significance, like a harvest feast, which is very, very common in cultures all around the world and has been for hundreds of years. And so people get together and they don't just eat one main course, one side dish or two side dishes or just one dessert, but the abundance on the table is, in a way, you know, a marker of the supposed abundance of gratitude and joy and happiness, etc., that we are feeling when we sit down and have that meal. And as I said, you know, oftentimes it is celebrated as a community, you know, in the Midwest, and certainly in New England, where it all started, one had a harvest feast, and after the grain, after the harvest was finally in, you would have, you know, sort of a community-wide celebration in which people from all the households would bring foods and people would share them. Or, you know, there's in the Asian cultures, there are feasts that occur in the full moon in the middle of the winter, and they also commemorate a harvest. And so that's why we theoretically should be serving a lot of different foods, but and along with that is sort of what I realized, because having read a lot about people who go on polar expeditions and what have you, I sort of enjoy that kind of literature, is that sometimes in times when food is truly not available, and it's known that it's not going to be available for major occasions like Thanksgiving or Christmas, the head of the house, the head of the cooking household, you know, the wife, the mother, the person who's making the food, will often, months before, save special ingredients to make a special dish. It could be sugar. It could be some kind of rum or some other kind of alcoholic beverage that would be used as a flavoring ingredient, something like fruit pie. It could be a kind of fruit or maybe even a particular form of meat, but it would be saved in order to present those special ingredients for the special meal. So you might be unable to have a large quantity of food. Indeed, this often occurred during either a natural famine or, you know, something like the expedition to the Antarctic that was headed by Scott. You would tuck away some ingredients that you would carry with you for months and months and months and just haul out for a Christmas holiday. But the specialness of those ingredients was supposed to reflect the specialness of the holiday. And lastly, what really comes across in reading about all this is that people should not be alone on Thanksgiving, because how do you celebrate a joyous occasion or a thankful occasion by yourself? And so there really is a sense of, well, are you doing anything for Thanksgiving? Do you want to come to our house for Thanksgiving? Where are you going? You know, there really, I think, tends to be among people that you know, a concern that people might be spending Thanksgiving holiday alone, and a real impulse and motivation to invite that person into your home so people would not be spending it alone. I remember when my husband had a very large laboratory at MIT, and he had students from all over the world really coming to him. And we used to have gigantic Thanksgiving meals, because even though many of the people we invited really had never celebrated Thanksgiving, we didn't want them to be alone on that day. And since many of the students were unable to go home to their families to celebrate Thanksgiving, we also invited them. And, you know, oftentimes the meal would start with sort of a historical lecture for those who didn't come from the United States why we're celebrating this holiday, but it always was a community. You know, it never was just the family. And it still continues, not that we have students anymore, but, you know, family. So I think that it really is important to give heed to the fact today's Thanksgiving, and that even though in the interest of health and what have you, we may not be eating a lot of the foods we might have, like, let's say, marshmallow topped yams, it is nice to realize that the meal in its many dishes is commemorating more than the fact that you can cook. It's commemorating the fact that we should be thankful for something this year.
And, you know, how perfectly said.
So, enjoy the meal, enjoy the feast, and we'll talk next week, okay?
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy on a Thursday morning right here on Robin Hood Radio. Also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.